Today we open a new emphasis as we talk about uncommon mind shift, spirit-led discernment. We are reading Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. These words are talking about Jesus and what kind of mind he had, what kind of attitude he had. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, to the highest place. And then he gave him the name, not a name, but the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And God's people said,
amen.
We may be seated in God's presence as we take a moment to pray. Father, we say thank you. What an honor to be in God's house this first Sunday of the month of July. We don't take it for granted that since the month of January, we have been able to come before you and hear your word explained to us, preached to us, released through inspiration and through the unction of the Holy Spirit. And now in this seventh month, Lord, we are saying, may we continue to sit under that word and allow that word to shift our minds so that we can do the will and the purpose of God. We thank you for those in the pavilion, those who are right here in the sanctuary, and especially those who are online from all over the world watching and listening to this word. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God, as your servant speaks, may there be a proceeding word, a now word, that is going to shift somebody's trajectory towards the kingdom of God. And all glory goes back to you, and God's people say, amen and amen. How many of you remember what the theme for last month was? The uncommon reception. And what we meant by that is that one of the things that God is imparting to us by the Holy Spirit is the ability to believe, spirit-led believing. And this whole month we're talking about the Spirit, because we know that humanly speaking, we cannot do some of the things God wants us to do. And that is why the Holy Spirit is so key in helping us do what we must do. And especially when we talk about mind shift, when you shift your mind, it is not in your own strength. It is in the strength of the Holy Spirit. You remember the time when the angel came to Mary and said to Mary, you are highly favored. Now, have you ever imagined, how old do you think Mary, the mother of Jesus, was? Some answers? 20? 14? 19? 18? In other words, she had an ID. Mary, by the way, was around 14 years old. So they got married very fast. Tell your neighbor, umechelewa. Got married very fast. Boys used to become men at 12 years old. So at 12, this guy is a man. He knows the law. He knows what is required. And so guys got married at a very young age. So the angel comes to Mary and says to Mary, you are highly favored. Now, this girl was not reading the Bible when the angel showed up. She was just doing her normal work, her normal duties. And there was a suddenly. And I want you to know that this month in your life, there will be a suddenly. There will be a suddenly that will show up. And at that time, that suddenly will shift your mind, will cause you to think in a different way. So God, the angel, is talking to Mary and says, Mary, you're highly favored. And says, Mary, by the way, he didn't tell Mary, you're going to get married. He said, Mary, you're going to conceive and you're going to have a child. And that child will be a child from God. And when the angel was still talking to her, you can imagine what was going through Mary's brain. He says, number one, that is wonderful news. Number two, I'm not married. Number three, I'm a virgin. Number four, I was not even planning to have a child at any time. Then she asks a question that was very key. She says, what you have said is wonderful, but noting that I'm a virgin, how will this be? How? One of the things that we tend to ask in our lives is the how question. We may ask the what question, the why question, the which question, the where question, but there comes a time we say, but how will this be? How will I graduate? How? Knowing that I didn't even finish class 8, how will I graduate? Now, in God's agenda of things, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. How? How will this be? And the angel said something that was key, and this is what he said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that is the agent of change. The Holy Spirit is the one who can shift the situations of your life in ways you could not imagine. So it is not dependent on you. It is dependent on the Holy Spirit. And so last month, when we were talking about believe and you will receive, because the Bible says to those who received them, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become the children of God. And then it says, who are born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but by the will of God. I want you to know that if you want your heavenly seat to be reserved today, and it can be reserved, is by doing exactly what the Bible says. To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God. That is how you reserve your seat for heaven. You don't reserve your seat by doing good works. You don't reserve your seat by smiling at your neighbor. Hallelujah. You don't reserve your seat by all these things, by going to church, by being baptized, by being confirmed, because some of us did all those things until we had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and he told us, you must be born again. And so this mind shift we are talking about is very key, because we are living in a season when things are very challenging. Let me read you this verse to remind you the season we're in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 tells us what we are facing in a season like this. And yet God wants us to have a different mind, a different way of thinking. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. It is just a statement. It is not saying we might have. It is saying there will be terrible times in the last days. And these are the characteristics. People will be lovers of themselves. That's underlined. People will be lovers of themselves. Secondly, talk to me. Lovers of money. Now, you need to note that word love. Lovers, there's a difference because in the Bible, love has different words. Because this love is different from loving chicken. Hallelujah. It's different from loving your wife. It's different from loving your friends. It's very different. It's the word lust, the greed, the desire that is not right. They be lovers of money, because at the end of the day, all of us need money. Let me talk to the other people who are spiritual. At the end of the day, you need money, but you need to relate with money in a very careful way. Somebody said money is like a woman. Hello? Very sensitive, like a woman. So treat money well. Talk to money and tell money, come my way. I appreciate you. And come in big denominations. Hello? But every time you say, I don't have money, I'm always broke. Money just never stays with me. Now, if you talk the same language to a woman, terrible things will happen. There are husbands who keep telling their wives, you should leave this house. Why are you staying in this house? You go, you go, you go. And for sure one day, she will go. And when she goes, it is not a miracle. You have been prophesying it for a long time. But when you tell your wife, I love you, I like you being in this house. In fact, when I see you, my day is made. Hallelujah. They'll be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. We are living in that age, in that season. So how does a Christian rise above those things, rise above those clouds, rise above that kind of a culture that we are facing? And that is why we want to talk about uncommon mind shift, spirit-led discernment. And so Paul tells us about Jesus and says, Jesus had a very different mind. He says, have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, that even though he was God, he did not consider himself equal to God, but submitted himself and became a human being and walked a life of servanthood until he reached the cross for you. And what Jesus did, he did not just do for himself, he did it for you, he did it for me, that we would end up having that kind of a mind, uncommon mind shift. The word uncommon is an interesting word, because in the theme vision, I have said this about the word uncommon. Uncommon means unusual. Tell your neighbor unusual. Uncommon means rare, exceptional, extraordinary, noteworthy, remarkable, strange, unique, surprising, original, unfamiliar, unprecedented. That is on page 58, if you have the theme vision book. Uncommon, something that is different, so that God is not saying, have a common mind like everybody else. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, the way this world thinks, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to talk about three things. Number one, the kingdom mind. Number two, the kingdom communication. And number three, the kingdom abundance. First, the kingdom mind. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It says this about the mind of Christ. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? And then it says an amazing statement, but we have the mind of Christ. We know how to think like he thinks. In the Christian life, when you get saved, what actually gets saved is your spirit. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Instantly, you get saved like this. Saved. You are a child of God, child of the King. What doesn't get saved that day is your mind. Hello? Now, your mind has to catch up with your spirit. Because, Pastor Simon, a person could get saved today. Yana mekuja altar call, aka get saved apa hivi. Prayed for, gone to the prayer room, prayed for, given scriptures, blessed, given things to read, and then he goes off. The moment he reaches Westland, thank you, Jesus, he enters a bar. Or the moment he reaches the gate, he pulls out his cigarette pack and begins to smoke. You wonder, is he saved? Let me ask you, did he get saved? Yes, he got saved. What happened? His mind. When a child is born, Pastor Simon, a child is born in maternity. Child is born. The mother is pushing, and all kinds of things. And by the way, for men, this is one of the worst things. You can be in maternity ward. A maternity ward is not a nice place. And I remember going to maternity ward when Martha was getting a baby, the firstborn. And I was there as the senior pastor, anointed, demon-chasing man of God. And I was going there to say, I'm going to support my wife. And for sure, I was in the labor ward supporting my wife. And when I arrived, she was quiet, and she was just feeling good. And I says, bearing a child is so easy. It is so nice. So she's there, quiet there with her sister, and no pains. I said, there's no pain here. For God's people, no pain. Thank you, Jehovah God. While I was still dreaming about this no pain, suddenly I heard Martha say, you know, I'm wondering, ni. The sister was so calm, like nothing had happened. And the sister started rubbing Martha's back. You know, and then Martha calmed down and says, oh, it is finished at the cross. It is finished at the cross. Oh, it was traumatic. She gave a scream after that. That disillusioned me. In fact, I panicked. I left the labor ward. And I went, it was Nairobi Hospital. I walked out of the labor ward, out of the hospital to the parking. And I was in the parking just saying, let her finish her job while I'm here. And while I'm in the parking, a member of the church found me. She was a registered nurse at Nairobi Hospital. None other than my sister, Mrs. Thiga. Madam, stand. This lady is retired now. She's a grandmother and all that. She found me at the parking lot. She knew that Martha was in the hospital. And I'm at the parking lot. And she's asking me, what are you doing here? I'm saying I'm observing the cars and just making sure they are parked very well. She grabbed my hand, says, Martha is in the labor ward and you're standing in the parking lot. She said, we are going back to the labor ward. So we walked into the labor ward. And it was a long labor, Martha is struggling, things like that. Thanks, Mom, for being there. Sometimes. I'm there for some time and the baby is not coming. So the doctor comes and says, who is the husband to this lady? It's a very difficult question. It is those moments you say, I have no idea who this is. So I owned up and said, I'm the husband. He says, this baby is not seeming to come quickly. We're taking her into theater. Can you sign these papers and things like that? What do you do at those times? Hello? I signed those papers very quickly. Martha was put into the theater, and in a few minutes I had, I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. The things mothers go through, my friend, I pray that no man can go through that. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's celebrate all the mothers in the house. Amen. So, before I started that story, what was I saying? Mind shift. Hallelujah. Mind shift. And my mind that day was shifted. It was changed. Just to confess that the second child, when the second child came, I was in Uganda. I came back when the child was born. Hello. Some things men cannot stand, but God is still a good God. And so we need this unique mind, original mind, the mind of Christ. And I want to start with the first one, the kingdom mind. And I had already told you that the kingdom mind is the mind of who? The mind of Christ. And who has that mind? Who has that mind? I just told you earlier, who has that mind? Who has it? You have the mind of Christ. You may not use it, but you have the mind of Christ. And that is why we're talking about mind shift, shifting from your mind to his mind. I want you to know that the mind of Christ is five things. It is uncommon, it is unstoppable, it is unshakable, it is unrelenting, and it is uncontainable. That's the kind of mind that Jesus had. When you read the Bible, Jesus was already prepared through all the situations of life. He meets Nicodemus. He says, "You're a mighty man of God." And Jesus says, "Stop the religious talk. You must be born again." He goes to a wedding, and the wine runs out. The mother comes and says, "They have no wine." And Jesus says, "Why do you have to ask me now, Mom? My time has not come." And then the mother goes and tells the others, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus was ready for even that situation. Jesus goes and meets a woman at the well from another culture. And she is able to engage that woman until that woman comes to know the Christ. That's the Jesus we're talking about. Where you are ready and prepared for any situation in life because you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is creative. It's a creative mind. It is a humble mind. It is a discerning mind. It is a courageous mind. It's a loving mind. It is a possibility mind. It is a generous mind. That's the mind of Christ. That's what he's saying you need to have. Let me read this verse for us that Paul was saying we need to have. Philippians 4, verse 8, talking about the kind of mind, the way of thinking we should have. At verse 6, he tells us not to be anxious about certain things. So just go back to verse 6. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything." So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Don't be anxious." But they ask your neighbor, "Is your mind still here?" Hallelujah. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now look at verse 8, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8 about how this mind thinks. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is what? Is true." Many times we read news that is not true. We listen to fake news. We listen to things that trouble us more. Nothing is true. But whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Choose what to think about. Tell your neighbor, choose what to think about. And choices are important. And so this shift is very important to the kingdom mind, because shifts are not easy. But shifts help you to go to great places. And sometimes you don't have to do such a great shift. Pastor Simon I know you did engineering and those kinds of technical issues. Hallelujah. Somebody says, if you're in a straight line, just a straight line, if you just move 1 degree away from that line, just one shift of 1 degree, if you multiply that by 1,000 kilometers, you'll have moved so far away from your previous place of destination. And sometimes people think that you have to make such a big change to be transformed. Sometimes it requires just a 1 degree shift in the right direction. Tell your neighbor, you need a just 1 degree shift, and you're going to reach your kingdom destination. You don't have to be drastic. Nothing drastic. Don't try to change even the way you talk. Before you got saved, you used to talk normally. After you got saved, you changed your language. Even your accent. You talked so nicely. God is a good God, and He's a marvelous God. And then you got saved. God is a good God. And He's a marvelous God. Where do you think? That is not Christian vocabulary. It's not Christian, my friend. That is what we call Texan. When a guy from Machakos is in Dallas. Hello. You know, there are some things, Pastor Simon, no matter what he does, Simon speaks English so well. But there are times that the Kikuyu in him flows out and he cannot help it. That's him. Hallelujah. And God wants you to just be you and let the Spirit flow through you. Hallelujah. But just a shift will take you to a direction you never imagined. Some of you look at Pastor Simon and look at me and you think we were like this the day we got saved. For me, it is nearly 50 years. I got saved in 1974. So I'm saved. Many years. What you see is 50 years of transformation. So when I meet somebody who's just been saved 1 year and they are doing gymnastics along the way, and I know that the Holy Spirit has work to do in this person. You're looking at somebody who has gone through the fire, who has gone through corners, who has gone through the valleys into the mountains, who has begun to understand what God is all about. And by the way, I've not reached. I'm still learning. I'm still reading the Bible. I have not stopped reading this Bible. I've not stopped praying because I know this journey is an eternal journey. Hallelujah. It's an eternal journey, so keep going. Keep going. But make choices to shift. So right now, tell your neighbor, make a choice to shift. So kingdom mind. Think of these five things. Shift from the mind of the flesh to the mind of Christ. Shift. Secondly, shift from the mind of fear to the mind of faith. Shift from the worldly mind to the kingdom mind. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Shift from the foolish mind to the wise mind. Shift from the carnal mind to the spiritual mind. Shift, and you don't have to shift 180 degrees, just 1 degree, 2 degrees. 3 degrees. It will blow your mind where you find yourself to be. Amen? But secondly, very quickly, kingdom communication. So think like Christ, but now I want to talk about pray like Christ. Think like Christ, pray like Christ. Let me read these verses that Jesus spoke in John chapter 16, verse 23 to 24. Jesus prayed a lot, and he prayed to a Father and had a lot of fellowship with God. It says, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, You have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. So in chapter 7, verse 7, this is what Jesus says about prayer. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Then he says, for everyone, everyone, does that include you? For everyone who asks, let me come back and say, does that include people who are not saved? Huh? Yes. Even atheists. A guy says an atheist. That is just a philosophy. There are no atheists in this world. Hallelujah. And if you want to prove it, put that guy in a helicopter, taking up to about 28,000 feet, throw him out of the helicopter. What do you think will be the first thing that will come out of his mouth? In all languages. Guy, Mungu wangu, God, there are no atheists until you throw them out of a place. And suddenly, God hears everyone. Before I got saved, I was an unbeliever. When I prayed the salvation prayer, who had me? God had me, and I got saved. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened to him. Then he says, next, look at the next verse. This is prayer. Jesus is teaching. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen? God is a giver, but the channel he uses is a channel of prayer. One time Paul and Silas were in big trouble. They had cast out a demon and it landed them in jail. And instead of complaining and saying, oh God, why has this happened? God, why did you do this to us? They began to pray. Look at what happened. Acts 16, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, I said this month, there are suddenlies coming your way. I'm saying as you're praying, there are suddenlies that are going to come your way. He says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Let me tell you this, there are chains that are going to come loose. There are foundations that have stayed for long in your family that are going to be broken asunder in the name of Jesus Christ. Another incident about prayer is Acts chapter 12. This one was concerning now Peter. The Bible says this in Acts 12, verse 1. Prayer changes things. Bwana asifiwe. Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some people who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now that is, just think about that, Pastor Simon. You go back. It says Herod was a crazy man. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Then he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. So James dies. Now, by the way, this James is not the one who wrote the book of James. Hello? This James is not the one who wrote the book of James. That's another James. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter, who was the key guy also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You know, when I think about this, I ask myself, when James was caught, what was the church doing? James was caught and killed. But when Peter was caught, the church prayed earnestly. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Then what happened? There's a suddenly coming your way. I'm talking to somebody, there's a suddenly coming your way. In the name of Jesus. Suddenly. Do you believe in angels? I believe angels exist. And they come to us suddenly and shift our situation. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. In other words, Peter was fast, asleep, relaxed, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ. The guy had knocked out. So the angel had to strike him and said, wake up, quick. Get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap up your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first, the second guards, came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. That's where automatic doors started, doors that just opened suddenly. They went through it. When they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people gathered and were doing what? Praying. And I will not tell you the rest about their prayer. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Prayer changes things. I'm saying prayer changes things. And we are entering into a season of prayer, like Pastor Simon said, ushering into the revival season. And starting tomorrow, we are going to be praying. Praying, praying, praying. We're going to be praying not just any prayer. We're going to be praying prayers that are not normal. That's why we want to shift. We are going to shift from formal prayers to prayers that shake foundations. We're going to shift from prayers that are powerless to prayers that open closed doors. We are going to shift from prayers that are selfish to prayers that praise God. We're going to shift from prayers that have no knowledge to prayers that are full of the Word of God. That's what we're going to be praying for. One of the things you have received today is a card. If you haven't received this card, the ushers are going to give you this card. I want you to open, to pick up this card. Ushers, I need more cards for those who came in while you are issuing those cards. So if, lift up your hand if you didn't get this card, because I want to talk about this card very quickly. Lift them up, up, up. Ushers, I need you upstairs. Just look at those hands so that you can give them this card. This card is called the Sevenfold Prayer, which we did this last year. We are doing it again this year. And it's taking us into a season of prayer, a time to call on the name of the Lord. I'm still waiting for you to all of you to get these cards. And we are giving it also to the pavilion, our whole pavilion. There are deacons there or leaders who are giving you the cards. We also gave it to the youth church. And I believe those cards are going out there because, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to pray uncommon prayers. I'm saying you're going to pray uncommon prayers. If you've gotten the card, I want you to look at the front page, that first page, where it says the Sevenfold Prayer Commitment. And it simply says, the Lord Jesus Christ invites you to the open door of answered prayer. By the way, while I'm saying this, I want to say there is a card also online. For those guys who are online, it is on our website. It can be downloaded wherever you are in this continent, across the world. This card is coming your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then it says the verse that I quoted earlier. So let us read that verse together. One, to go. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy of answered prayer will be complete. How many of you are expecting God to answer your prayers? I'm included in that prayer. Now, open that page. What you see there is a page says called 7 prayer requests. Now, this is how I want you to pray. I don't want you to write there are 7. So don't write, I want God to give me a job. Don't write as if it is in the future. Write as if it has actually been done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God doesn't live in the future, God lives in the now. Your future is his past. It is already done. Believe that God will have done what you're asking for. So you're praying for 7 prayer requests. Now, if you have more than 7 requests, what do you do? You get a paper and continue writing. By that paper, you're going to put it into this card. Then you're going to pray for 7 people. Tell your neighbor, people. Now, that does not include your enemies. But it can also include your enemies. But as you pray for them, you're going to pray because God answers prayer when people call on his name. Whether it is for salvation, whether they are in hospital for healing, whether it is for financial breakthrough, whether it is a job, whether it is education. But some of them are family members, some of them are your friends, but you're praying for 7 people for prayer. The next page, we are praying for 7 weeks of prayer. Now, first we're doing 21 days of prayer. That is about how many weeks? 3 weeks. After praying and fasting, as we go, and we shall be getting those prayer requests as we go every day, you can continue that prayer. Stop fasting, just continue that prayer as we continue to believe God for great things. So what are you trusting God for? 7 prayer expectations. Number 1, you're expecting God's divine will to be revealed as you pray. You're expecting God's divine provision to be manifested as you pray. You're expecting God's divine grace to be realized as you pray. You're expecting God's divine power to be unleashed in your situation as you pray. You're praying God's divine wisdom to be aligned to you as you pray. You're praying God's divine presence to be experienced while you pray. You're praying God's divine transformation to be actualized in your life as you pray. And then, look at the last page. We are reading that page because it is a statement. You're telling God that he answers prayer. 1, 2, go. God is a God of covenant. What he says, he will do. What he declares, he will establish. What he designs, he will create. What he promises, he will fulfill. Believe it. Receive it. Take it. It is your portion in the now. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is sealed. Amen. Why don't you appreciate Jehovah for that? So don't fill this card today. Go home with it. And during the week, just ask God to guide you to what to pray as your request, and who to pray for, and then begin to believe God. July the 20th, which is 2 Sundays from now, come back with these cards. Don't lose them. Come back with these cards. That Sunday, we shall have an agreement of prayer, and we shall lift up our cards, including other prayer requests, to God, and say, God, meet us at the point of need. And I want you to know the Bible says if 2 or 3 of you agree concerning a matter on earth, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. Are we together? Tell your neighbor, we are going to pray uncommon prayers. We are going to pray extraordinary prayers. And God is going to come through. Foundations will be shaken. Doors will be opened. And God's purpose will come through. How many of you believe with me for that to happen? I believe that. Those of you in the pavilion, I know you have lifted up your hand. Those online, take it in Jesus' name. shift, prayers shift. Let me tell you this. A lot of the books I write and some of the cards I write come when I'm praying. I'm just praying. I'm just talking to God. I'm just worshiping God. Sometimes I'm praying in tongues. And sometimes I'm praying in Kiswahili. Sometimes I'm praying in English. I'm just praying, praying, praying. And then suddenly, boom, there's a download. I write it down. I get my phone. I write those things down. And I put them down in Jesus' name. This just a few days ago, there's a card I've just written. But that came out again when I was praying. It's a download. And it's talking about the days of the week. You know how we talk about your Monday is blessed, your Tuesday is blessed. Now, this time God gave me another way of saying it. Because sometimes we went into a week full of anxiety, not knowing what will happen. But let me tell you this, God has already captured the week for you. So Monday is your miracle Monday. I'm saying Monday is your miracle Monday. Tuesday is your Thanksgiving Tuesday. Amen. Wednesday is your wonder-working Wednesday. Amen. Thursday is your testimony Thursday. Amen. Friday is your faith-lifting Friday. Amen. Saturday is your celebrating Saturday. And Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony because it is a sonship Sunday. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So tomorrow, as you step into the day, remember it is a miracle Monday. A Thanksgiving Tuesday, a wonder-working Wednesday, a testimony Thursday, a faith-lifting Friday, a celebrating Saturday, a sonship Sunday, when we come back to worship the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So tell your neighbor, ideas come through prayer. So tell your neighbor, you can imagine how many ideas you have missed because you did not pray. Hello? Finally, we are talking about kingdom abundance. Tell your neighbor, kingdom abundance. And it's just a verse that I want to bring to your attention. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul is writing, talking about the riches of Christ. This is what he says. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. God has called us to preach about the boundless riches of Christ. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness therefore. By the way, when we talk about abundance, we are talking about a mindset. Hallelujah. Pastor Simon, scarcity is a mindset. Abundance is a mindset. And you decide which one you want. Poverty is a mindset. And God wants us to have an abundant mindset. He says, think like me. You are children of the King. You may not have money in the bank, but you may have treasures in your heart. Hallelujah. Treasures in your heart. The riches of peace, the riches of love, the riches of purpose. There are people who have so much money, zero purpose. There are people who have so much money and so much wealth, so much property, but they cannot sleep at night. They do not have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But I'm saying you can actually have both. Hallelujah. You can have money and have peace and purpose. You can have property and you become generous and you're serving God and advancing the kingdom in Jesus' name. Abundance is a mindset. And God is saying, have that mindset. Shift to that mindset. God wants us to have the riches of Christ, the wealth of nations. The Bible says, ask me for the nations, and I'll give them to you as what? As an inheritance. Those are the riches of God. Abundance of life eternal. And I want to say this, if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus Christ, hey, God is saying, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I finish by saying this. The prodigal son thought that what he was asking the father to give him was all that existed. And so the father gave him that money and he went and he squandered it. And when it was finished and there was nothing else to do, he was now ending up not eating fish and chips. Hello? What was he eating? Pig's food. And while he was eating pig's food, he had a spirit of discernment. Hello? Those spirit-led discernment. He did not just think that he was such so bad. No, he said, in my Father's house, the servants eat better food than I'm eating. That was his revelation. And then he said, I'll go back to my Father's house and allow him to hire me as one of his servants. Because he knew, in terms of being a child, that was written off. He was given an inheritance, he was written off. But as he was coming home, he didn't know how rich and wealthy the father was. And the father was waiting for him. And the father saw him from a distance. From a distance. The father saw him. And the father did not say, look at that little scoundrel. The father said, that looks like my son. And fathers, if you want to know how you walk, look at how your son walks. Just check behind. Just check how he walks. That's exactly how you walk. And the father says, that guy walks like me. And he ran to him. And he embraced him. Lifted him up. The son already had something to speak and says, Dad, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And I sinned against earth. Forgive me. The father said, put that script down. My son was dead. But now he is alive. Then he said, hey, you guys, clean up this guy. Put on him a new robe. Put a ring on his fingers and put sandals on his feet. You see, now, Pastor Simon, that's the treasure this boy missed. And the father kept it for him while he was gone. Let me tell you this. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And then there was a feast. Huh? A feast. What do we call a feast these days, Pastor Simon? There was a bash. I'll tell your neighbor, there's a bash for you. In Jesus' name. There's a bash. But some of us are like the other brother. The brother who did not like bashes. The brother who stayed. The brother who was in the house. The brother who was religious. Who comes and tells the father, what is this you're doing? Huh? That son of yours, huh? Can you imagine? It's not my brother. That son of yours went and squandered everything and you're treating him like this. What this cowboy did not know is that the father is wealthy. The father's love, it can embrace anybody. Hallelujah. It can embrace the world. Hallelujah. Yes, it can embrace the world. And that's why we're even praying. You know, when we think about the Gen Z and we're saying, God, stretch your hand and embrace the Gen Zs. Let them sense your love. Let them sense your care. They've been let down. They have been pushed to the edge, but God, stretch your hands and let them sense your love. Let them sense your embrace. And Pastor Simon, one of the prayers I pray is this, and I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Amen. Hallelujah. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And I believe something is about to happen. I believe that God is going to use the young people to usher in revival. I'm saying they're going to usher in revival. They'll be in the streets. And while they're on the streets, the Holy Spirit will fall upon them. They'll be on their knees worshiping God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The policemen will come with their guns and find all these boys and girls on their feet. And they will put down their guns and go on their knees and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. That's revival. And they're going to wonder, what happened? What is this? What happened? Because I remember the revival that took place in the 1970s when I got saved. That time, it was not riots, not protests. It was gangs. There were gangs in the city. Gangs everywhere, fighting from this estate to that estate. And then revival hit Nairobi South B, where the gangs were. And you know, the captains of the gangs got saved. And they carried their weapons to the police station. Walked in the police station with their weapons. And the policemen thought these guys were going to come to fight with them. But suddenly they came in, they had Bibles, put their weapons down, Some of those young people today are bishops of churches. Bishops of churches. I'm telling you, revival is coming. And it's going to hit suddenly. And you know, when revival comes, it is followed by reformation. And when reformation comes, it is followed by transformation. And I believe this country needs transformation in the name of Jesus. It needs a reformation. But before the reformation, there needs a revival, because the revival affects your heart. Reformation affects your mind. Transformation affects the systems of the nation in the name of Jesus. My sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. And I believe that suddenly can happen. That suddenly will happen. And it will happen in this corner, happen in that corner. While they're wondering what is happening, it will happen because the young people are online and the revival will go online. In the name of Jesus. Online. And those who are watching and wondering, what are these young people doing? Before they're able just to even rebuke them, they'll experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit and says, before you cast that stone, check on yourself. Get on your knees and let God change your life. Let me tell you this. Britain was changed because of the revival of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. America was changed because of the revival that was called the revival of awakening, that changed the trajectory of America. And many of the universities, Harvard, Stanford, and all those, were based on Christian principles because of the revivals that showed up at that time. I believe that Kenya is in a state and a position of revival. And so as we go into time of prayer, pray for revival. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, turn from their wicked ways. Not the non-believers, my people. Because my people are the ones who are doing wicked things. My people are the ones who need to be forgiven. My people are the ones who have strayed like that prodigal son. But when they pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so you are the church. As you leave Paki today, you are the church. You are the voice of the church. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. In your families, as people are making these conversations and challenges, you speak into that situation with a new mind, the mind of Christ. Speak as you pray. Speak as you bless. And I want you to know, as you do that, your week will be blessed. You'll have a miracle Monday, a Thanksgiving Tuesday, a wonder working Wednesday, a testimony Thursday, a faith lifting Friday, and a celebrative Saturday. And Sunday, you're going to come and worship the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so you're going to make a shift in the next few seconds by standing up. That's called a shift. So tell your neighbor, shift from sitting to standing. Hallelujah. Now, number one, why don't you give God a big hand for allowing me to preach today? Hallelujah. The Lord continues to be good to me. And thank you for praying for me every day. And I really appreciate it. This month is the seventh month. It's the month where God says, it is complete. It is perfect. it is finished. Seven also means rest. It's a restful month. There may be turmoil everywhere else, but seven meet, and God rested on the seventh day. May God rest in your situation. May God rest in your circumstances. May God rest in your goals and in your targets. May God give you victory wherever you go today, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, why don't you say, I receive it? I take it. It is my portion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. I want you to declare and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I am a new creation. I'm a brand new person. There is no condemnation in my life. I'm forgiven. I'm a champion. I'm rising. I am undefeated. And there is nothing that is denied for me. Christ is the answer. No matter how many questions I ask. You receive that? Now, give God another big hand. Amen.